Well, welcome back to the second week of our series we're calling A Classic Christmas. In this series, we're looking at how to make Christmas simpler, more holy, a time of innocence and childlike wonder, reclaiming all that was once magical about the season. And today I want to talk with you about Look East. Look East. I think we can all remember times in our childhood when every morning offered new hope. You woke up feeling strong, alive, ready to tackle the day. You had dreams, a bright future, nothing could stop you. You were full of hope and optimism. But it's easy to lose that positive spirit. The burdens of life can weigh us down. We start focusing on the negative. Maybe things didn't work out. You didn't get the career you wanted, the job you wanted. Your fairy tale wedding ended in divorce. Your kids or grandkids ended up getting off course. Or a medical problem hit you like a ton of bricks. That can cause a heavy feeling inside. And negative attitudes, unhealthy relationships, addictions, destructive habits, attacks from the enemy can also pull us down and convince us that we'll never achieve anything good. But God can turn every situation around. He can turn every mistake, every regret, every disappointment into a success story. He's always working behind the scenes, getting ready to do something new in our lives, getting ready to bring us back to a place of hope, restore our positive spirits, and help us regain that youthful excitement we had about the future. Our part, what we have to do, is look in the right direction. We have to always look to the east. Long ago, God delivered the ancient Israelites. After 400 years of slavery, a new dawn was finally breaking as God was leading them to the east through the desert to the land that he promised to give them. But once they got there, things didn't go perfectly. Some things went wrong. Long story short, at one point, they were taken captive and forced to live in a foreign land. It was their darkest hour. But a man named Baruch, a prophet of God, offered them hope. In the first reading today, Baruch told the people to put aside their mourning and their misery because God was soon going to bring them home. And he was going to make it easy for them to get there, not like before when they were forced out of Jerusalem. This time, every high mountain would be made low, every deep valley filled in, the way made level and smooth. Led away in chains by their captors, they would now be led home in victory and freedom by God himself. What's interesting, though, is that in this section, Baruch was speaking to the people who remained behind in Jerusalem. Not everyone was taken. And on that day, when the exiles, when the people finally came home to Jerusalem, it would be the lookouts standing guard on the top of the walls of Jerusalem who would be the first to see the returning exiles. And to them, Baruch said, "Up, Jerusalem, stand on the heights, look to the east and see. See your children rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Look to the east," Baruch said, "because that is where hope comes from. It's where each new day begins." When I was growing up, every summer, my father would take the whole family on a long vacation, whether we wanted to go or not. We would always go around and explore national parks. My dad loved national parks and other scenic areas, and we'd always drive to save money. The problem was, my father was a brilliant man of science, but could not find his way out of a paper bag. We would always get lost. It never failed. Every trip, sooner or later, somehow we would get seriously off course. We could be out in the middle of the desert with one road leading in and out of the town. My dad would find a way to take a wrong turn. And like most men, he would drive around and around and around, getting more and more upset instead of stopping and asking for directions. Ladies, you know my pain, right? You feel that pain. You know what I'm talking about. Well, one time we actually rented a rowboat and took it out on a small lake. We couldn't get back to shore. We almost didn't make it in time for when the company closed in the evening because we got all turned around on the lake and the shoreline all looked the same. I thought we were going to have to spend the night on the water. Another time, we were at an amusement park and we took one of those sky buckets, you know, the aerial trams that go over the park to the other side. But of course, we got on the wrong one going in the wrong direction. Whether my father was traveling by land, sea, or air, he always found a way to lose his way. Travelers, most of them have had similar problems in the past, right? Before there was maps or GPS, pioneers and explorers had to be creative about how they got around. Ancient mariners, sailors, for instance, would use the stars in the night sky to navigate across the sea. But if they somehow veered off course, it was always the rising sun in the eastern horizon that would reorient them in the right direction, because hope comes from the east. I know that none of you here are old enough to remember this, but 60 years ago, priests celebrated Mass with their backs to the people. This would have been a disaster for us and for me personally, because every Sunday you would have to look at my bald spot, which would be very humiliating. But anyway, they didn't do it back then because they were unfriendly. They didn't have their backs to the people because they were unfriendly. They celebrated with their backs to the people because the altar was usually located on the eastern end of the church. And the thinking was that everyone, including the priest, would be facing the same direction, facing east, looking toward Christ. The scripture says that he is the rising sun and a bright morning star. His resurrection was at dawn, and the Gospels say that he will come back from the east. Today, a lot of priests are turned around facing the people, like we are here. But even though he may be positioned looking towards the west, like in this church, he still is facing what is known as liturgical east. It may not be geographical east, but symbolically, it is still east, because we always look to the east for hope, new life, restoration, fresh beginnings. Every week, you and I have the opportunity to come here and reorient ourselves to God. In fact, the word reorient literally means to turn around and face east again, because hope comes from the east. This is what John the Baptist did. The year was 28 AD, and it was not a happy time. The 12 tribes of Israel were still scattered in different parts of the world. There was political unrest at home. The Romans were oppressing the people with high taxes and insensitivity to their culture and religion. A growing discontent among the people had already led to resistance and even a few minor skirmishes. But the tension was mounting. In fact, there was a political movement called the Zealots who made it their mission to overthrow the Romans. One of them was even a disciple of Jesus. Things were not good. But John the Baptist knew that God was about to do something brand new, something unexpected, something so big the people needed to get ready for it. Logically, it would have made the most sense for John to start his ministry in Jerusalem. That's where most of the people lived and worked. It's where the religious establishment was located. But instead, John told the people to come out to the desert. That was inconvenient. That would have required travel, planning, preparation, packing. But John wanted the people to come east across the Jordan to where it all began 1,000 years before. He was calling the people back to their spiritual youth, their childhood in faith, a moment when they were a young nation for God, when their ancestors first crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, a time when they were especially close to God and excited about the future. John was calling them to repent by washing in the waters of the Jordan. He wanted them to come east, reorient themselves to God, so they would be prepared to welcome Jesus. Then, like the exiles returning home hundreds of years earlier that Baruch was talking about, Jerusalem would once again see her children coming home from the east, newly washed in the waters of the Jordan, ready to receive the saving power of Christ. The only difference is that this time it wouldn't be only the Jews, but available to everyone, because as Scripture says, all flesh will see the salvation of God. We all have situations that don't look like they'll work out. You don't see how you're going to get well, accomplish your dreams, restore your family. Maybe you're feeling discouraged because you don't see a way forward. The odds are against you. The challenge is too big. You've been dealing with the same problem for so long. But when you have hope, you don't get discouraged because nothing's happened yet. You believe God is on the throne. He's ordering your steps, as Scripture says. He's working things out for your good. You know, as Scripture also says, that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning with the rising sun. When you have hope, you can say, I know, God, you are restoring health back into me. I know, God, you are healing my heart from that loss. I know, God, that you are going to give me that, send me that baby or grandbaby that I've been so desperately desiring. I know you're going to put the right people in my life to help me achieve my destiny. When you have hope, you believe despite how things look. You thank God when you could be complaining. You expect things to turn around in your favor, even when nothing's happening. Well, Father Roger, you might be saying to yourself, you know, I don't see how I can have hope, or someone I love, they're having a hard time. Things aren't looking good. How can I have hope? Can I tell you? Hope is a virtue. That means it's a choice we make, a decision we make. God gives us the grace. It's a theological virtue. So God gives us the grace to be hopeful, but we have to choose to receive it, to let it enter into us, to get down into our spirits. And the thing about hope is that the more you make that decision, the more hope you will have, because it becomes a habit, a virtue. The more you choose to look east, where hope comes from, even when things are looking desperate, the more hope you will have in dark and desperate times. I think this is what helped my friend Jack. Many of you, I'm sure, know Jack. Jack has been a parishioner here, coming to St. Hilary, for more than 60 years. He just told me this morning, 1965. That's the year I was born. He's been coming here. But a few months ago, Jack told me that he and his wife would have to move away soon. They were almost in their 90s, and they needed to transition to assisted living before it was too late. Well, my heart sank when he told me that. I couldn't believe it was happening. I mean, that would mean that Jack could no longer come to Mass here. He would no longer be standing outside the front doors every Sunday morning at the 9 a.m. Mass, greeting people with his warm and friendly smile. It would mean Jack could no longer tend to our flower beds and beautify the area and our campus as he'd been doing for decades. He could no longer lead tours of the historical site in downtown Tiburon known as the China Cabin for school children, generations of whom have known him affectionately as Captain Jack. All that would be coming to an end. It was crushing my soul. When he told me the bad news, Jack gave me this rock. He said he'd been cleaning out his house, getting ready for the move, and he wanted me to have it. Years earlier, a friend of his had gone to the Holy Land and gotten baptized in the Jordan River. After the baptism, he picked up this rock from the riverbed and brought it home. Jack's friend traveled east for a new beginning, and then he gave Jack this rock as a sign of his friend's new life in Christ. And Jack has cherished it all these years, and now, in anticipation of his move, he entrusted it to me. I was so honored. But you know what's funny? As I told you what a legend Jack was here and is, what an inspiration he's been to so many people, but he didn't seem all that upset about the change he was having to go through. I seemed to be more upset than he was. But that's because Jack is a man of hope, a man of hope. He is a person who is accustomed to looking east, trusting God to make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. Jack is such a good person in general. This is a little off script, but I've started telling it at all the masses. Story, but Jack, you know, he's a gardener. He's a great gardener. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. And one time he helped me renovate a garden. We dug out like all these trenches and these planter boxes that had grown over. And then we planted all these vegetables. And then the moles ate them all. So we dug it all back out again, put chicken wire down to prevent the moles, put the dirt back in, grew the plants again. Only stupid Father Roger kept forgetting to water it. The whole thing died. I was like, Jack, I said, I'm so, so sorry. I really apologize. You know what he said to me? He said, Father Roger, how could I ever be mad at my pastor? You could take a lesson. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's just, I'm just kidding. He's such a good man. And part of what makes him such a good man is he's a man of hope. He trusts in God. He's used to looking east. Well, I do have some good news because I just found out last weekend that God made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. A miracle in Jack's life happened. I don't know what it was. I didn't want to pry, but something changed and he's going to be able to stay. And I am prophesying here before you, God and the angels, that Jack will be part of this community for a long, long time to come. You may have noticed that the stone Jack gave me is sort of shaped like a heart. For me, it's a sign of hope, a sign of hope that God is always getting ready to do something new, to do something uncommon, unexpected, to show out in our lives because he loves us. If you're struggling right now or someone you know is struggling right now, you've got a kind of heaviness in your heart, a wariness about your life, a darkness that's kind of surrounding you, and you're worried about the future. Now is the time. Christmas is the time to get back that hope you once had and to remember the heart of Christ who loves you unconditionally. That may seem hard to do, but really all you need to do is look in the right direction. Reorient yourself to God and look to the east once again.